This is Kurt Breck from the Dirty Rotten Imbeciles. When I'm in Long Island, I listen to Turmoil.
DRI, Kurt, Spike, Josh of the band. Felix is out somewhere. Okay, you got a new album out called Four of a Kind.
Right.
Title, does that reflect it's the fourth album?
Part of it, yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of,
There's the four of us, too.
There's four of us, it's our fourth album, and four jokers. We're kind of like bringing a little more fun back into the whole music scene here. We thought it was getting a little too serious. And distasteful. Okay, going back, the first album you put out yourselves, and then the second album, the first one on Metal Blade, actually was called
Dealing with It,
and you sort of re-recorded most of your earlier material for that.
No, just a couple of songs.
Three or four songs out of the 22. Was that part of the agreement with Metal Blade to re-record it? Was that your own choice?
It was done before they even...
Yeah, it was a completely our decision. We did that in the studio on our own, and we completely recorded the album and everything and almost put it out by ourselves again when Metal Blade actually took it. It was completed work, so they had nothing to do with anything on that record, really.
The reason we re-recorded some of those songs is because through playing them live for years since the first album, we just gradually started playing them differently and added extra parts to them and stuff like that. And those were the only ones that we had started playing different, so we redid them. We liked them better.
Now, there's a third version out, I guess, of the first two albums that you're putting out on your own label. And you're really confusing everybody.
The first album and the first single.
First single.
Seven inch or whatever.
Now, this is your own record independent of Metal Blade?
Yeah.
Why the decision to re-release?
Because it was like our own label and record, but it was being manufactured and everything by somebody else who was ripping us off. And we just got tired of it and decided that we would overlook it all and make sure things went right and we got paid for it.
As long as we're doing it ourselves, we decided to go ahead and remix it and remaster it to make it sound better too, because the quality wasn't too good.
And with the extinction of 7-inch records now, you can't find them in any stores no more. And nobody could find Violent Pacification or 7-inch EP anywhere except through our mail order. So we decided to put it on the record also, so that it wasn't just a you know, a record that was just becoming distinct or whatever.
The first record was kind of short too, so now it adds a little time to it, makes it a normal length record.
So DRI is not really starting its own record label then?
No.
Third album was called Crossover, and I think that's the one that caused a lot of controversy. Basically, starting with the cover of the album where you had the Skanker sort of metallicized, and then just the press you started receiving and the various punk fanzines, how you guys were selling out, going metal, things like that. Did that bother you at the time, or did you try to ignore most of it and just do what you wanted to do?
It didn't really bother us.
It's good to have people talking about you.
Any publicity is good.
It did bother me, I don't know. Bothered me a little bit that people were saying, because what they were saying, in my eyes, was untrue, like that we sold out and now that we're a heavy metal act. Kurt sings like Dio and, you know, all this bullshit, and it just, I don't know.
For us, it was a natural progression, and it didn't seem like such a radical change for us. You know, I mean, it didn't, to other people it was, but for us it was more gradual, and we didn't really see it like that.
Everybody was still used to the 10-second little things.
Do you think punk wants its bands to stay the same and doesn't want you guys to grow? Or any other band, it sort of changes a little bit. It seems the punk
scene, I always thought punk was supposed to be like anarchy, you could do whatever you want, and there was no rules and everything, but...
As you change, you find out there are these little rules that you don't care about.
As you do whatever you want, you find out,
There are these people that consider themselves the, you know, your original fans, and they get real jealous if you start drawing other people to your gigs. So jealous that they won't even go anymore, some of them, you know. They won't go if there's a bunch of long-haired people there. They're like, oh, I used to see DRI when there was only 10 people there at every show. And it's like, now that there's, you know, a couple hundred people, they won't go because they feel jealous or cheated or something. They'd rather have us just keep coming back every year and playing to the same 50 people.
There's no room for
each night.
That's one of the songs on the new album, Four of a Kind, called Think for Yourself. Does that sort of reflect on, say, the press and how people are sort of saying, well, DRI sold out, they're not like they used to be, and they don't care about the punks anymore, they're just interested in money, and you're just pretty much saying, don't listen to this.
Yeah, I had a kid that came by and was talking to me a couple days ago at a show, and he said that, he goes, I guess you've heard that a lot of people, you know, say that you guys have sold out and stuff like that, and he goes, but every time I come see you guys, you just, like, freak me out, and you're always better than I expect, because everybody talks down on you and stuff, and you expect it to be bad, and then you go, and you're blown away. This is what he was telling me, and he said, just keep up whatever you're doing, it's great, you know, so that made me feel real good.
When we were over in Europe, there was like a little
clique
of people,
protesters.
That were like actually protesting a few of our shows and stuff like that.
Trying to boycott.
And they were going around passing out these flyers saying that we did this and we did that. And
we're like the same as Prince and Madonna and all this.
And after you start talking to them and like they like kind of go, well, I'm sorry, and they throw the flyers away that someone gave them the handout and everything, and it was like they just believed what anybody told them and started protesting us, and that's basically what the song is about, is think for yourself and, you know, don't let your friend tell you how you should feel about somebody or something.
We'll be right back.
have problems in Australia?
Oh, I did a little bit. Yeah, I had a little Jewish star earring that some skinheads didn't like too much. Didn't like the fact that we're from America too, and that sort of thing. They started all kinds of trouble during the show, and Kurt finally got everybody to go against them and chased them out of the club, which was kind of cool.
So you guys will still take the effort to stop a show then if you don't like what's going on?
Oh, yeah. We just had to do it in Fort Lauderdale. We had to walk off the stage a couple times. Because it was, I mean, you could really like see, sometimes you can't see the crowd, you can't see when there's a fight going on, but that night you could see real easy, and there was a lot of fights going on, like five or six, you know, people beating up on one, and we would just say, hey, we're not going to be part of it, you know, you're not going to beat up people along to our music.
Not your
background. And finally, yeah, and then finally they just, we told them that's it, you know, we're not going to play anymore if there's one more fight, and they didn't fight anymore, so it was cool. But at first it was really bad, but it's just a few cities, and usually expect it to happen in those certain cities.
Now, the only difference I really noticed between the band from the first album and the later albums really is the instrumental, the beginning of the songs, and so the breaks are a little longer, but the lyrics are still the same. You're still putting out the same ideas that you had.
You're not quite writing about Satan yet.
But is that a conscious effort sort of to make the songs a little longer? Because if you strip away, you know, the intro to a song and the breaks in the middle, you still got the basic, you know, 1-2 minute song.
It's just like making it interesting.
Yeah.
You want to try to make things as, you know, more fun to play for yourself as possible.
Well, we already were considered to be whatever the fastest band in the world and everything else, and we're just trying to improve on ourselves and just become more powerful and everything. And listening to the first album, I think it's real weak and tinny sounding. And we try to slow things down because that's how you get a more powerful sound, and so we do some of the everything. It's like on this new album, we turn some old rock and roll stuff.
And I think our set's really good now because there's a lot of variety to it. We still play as fast as we've ever played on
really
the old
diverse
songs, and then we play, you know, stuff off Dealing With It, Crossover, and the new album, and it just all, that's a lot better set than like how it used to be a few years ago when we just played our nothing but our first album and Dealing
like
With
one
It.
One big song.
Yeah. Which is all right. I mean, I'm not ashamed of what we did back then and stuff like that. I think it was cool, and a lot of people really dug it and everything. But
we played as good as we can, and back then that was it.
Yeah.
And now it's different. We improved, and we don't want to stagnate. I feel if we did that, we probably wouldn't be around right now. We'd be broken up.
How do you look at other bands who sort of cite you as influences, or like they'll see a Slayer album, one of their first albums, and they'll have a DRI t-shirt on?
Anyone that uses you as an influence or something is kind of cool, you know, it's kind of flattering, sort of.
Slayer helped us a lot just by, you know, letting us play with them and wearing our shirt and stuff like that, because a lot of their fans saw that and said, hey, DRI, and then saw our album, checked that out, and they liked, you know, both the types of music, and played shows with them and all, and that was real cool. I mean, every magazine you look in, you see bands wearing DRI shirts. It's, you know, it's just it's the logo that they like a lot. I don't think they all try to sound like us, but you know, hopefully they're at least inspired by us.
What was that poster we seen the other day? Yesterday in that music store?
Oh, it was like a poster for ESP guitars, and they had the guy from Dokken.
Dokken,
one of those guitars. Had little
skank on his guitar. Oh my god.
It was so funny.
Probably that never even heard DRI before. Just thought it was cool.
Also, you know, on the new album, Four of a Kind, you also get back to the theme of religion. With Manifest Destiny.
Yeah.
Whereas on Crossover, you sort of addressed it in No Religion.
Mm-hmm.
Who's got the anti-religious feelings here?
I wrote Manifest Destiny. He wrote No Religion.
It's kind of mutual.
It's not really an anti-religious thing. It's just an anti-getting f***ed over by religion. Getting messed up by religion.
Well, you know what Manifest Destiny is. I mean, the original deal, yeah. That's pretty much just,
you know,
it's
very timely with all the stuff going on with Falwell and, you know, all the religious groups and stuff like that. Just, you know, first thing, you know, when that hit was like someone calling up and requesting, can you play No Religion because of that? It's like,
wow,
right in, you know?
Yeah. I definitely wrote No Religion from staying up late nights and having the channel watching some
pay TV guy.
Yeah, pay TV preacher.
Some of them are real radical. They're almost like a hardcore singer or something.
Yeah.
Up there on their knees, you know, screaming. Yeah, getting totally into it. It's pretty funny, humorous to watch some of them.
So that you also have those Christian metal bands too, preaching their stuff.
The church supports them and everything.
Yeah. Who's Joan Brecht?
My wife.
Your wife. So you are married, okay. And Gone Too Long. Things between you and wife, okay? Because the one in there, I wonder, is she blonde and is she pretty?
That was written before we were married.
But the usual, you know, frustrations of the road and, you know, yeah, far away. So
that's just saying, wondering is that because they tend to think that something's going on while you're on the road. They just think, you know, groupies are hanging all over you and stuff like that. We don't attract that many girls to our shows, really. But
well, how are you experiencing things now that you're leaving Melissa behind, your first sort of major tour?
It was harder, like, last year, but this year,
get it down to a routine.
It's so easy and boring.
Our tours don't last as long anymore either, so we just, like, you know, playing almost every night and everything. So you get back soon.
It's hard to keep a relationship with you away from home.
Definitely. Yeah. But it sort of strengthens the relationship too, if you can keep it together and you're away from each other and apart from each other. It's not like you're together every day of your life from now on. You know you're going to be apart from them and stuff. But if you can keep it together, it makes it a stronger relationship.
I know Melissa plays a big part in the band, helping out with the mail order, things like that. Does Joan also?
No.
Did you want her to stay apart from the band? Keep her out of the sort of the rock and roll?
Wasn't any conscious effort. She just has her own stuff going on.
Last time you were in New York last year, you did a show at the Ritz. You were supposed to shoot a video.
We did.
What happened with that?
Well, we shot it and it's ready to go.
It's been ready for probably
8 months.
Yeah, a long time. It's just going back and forth through the record label and everything. We originally almost released it ourselves, and then they took it, and then, I don't know, it kind of got held up with legal procedures and stuff like that. Should be out. Every time it's like, we always get asked this question. It's like, yeah, it's coming out any day, and it just never does.
So, it's
out of our hands right now. But yeah, it's really good. It's definitely 100%, 2,000% better than our first video. But just with legal procedures, it's just going to be coming out late.
There was also a rumor you were supposed to be in a movie too.
I think, yeah, we've had a couple.
There was a few of them. You almost maybes, like the Decline of Western Civilization 2, the Metal Years, It's Alive 3,
the soundtrack. Yeah,
they want us to do sound.
And that, and all a couple different movies here and there, and always just fell through.
My dad always puts t-shirts on extras in the movies he does. He just finished one. Now the extras run off with the shirts on. Tell my same.
What kind of movies is it?
He does all kinds of just regular movies. He's got one coming out called Moon Over Parador. That's a good one. Richard Dreyfuss.
done some pretty good things.
So there's no, there's really no chance of you guys doing a soundtrack or anything like that?
Yeah, there's a chance.
Is it?
He's always keeping his ears open.
I mean, not just from that, but company music, I mean, movie companies call up the record company and they ask, you know, say if they need something heavy sounding for, you know, one song on a movie or something like that, they might ask.
They might use
then they might ask us.
Yeah, but right. I think there's a chance of us actually writing songs for, like, you know, a movie or something.
Doing things with the booking agency now. And they're sort of booking you guys along with Holy Terror Creator.
Actually, I've been doing something with booking agencies the last 3 years, but the booking agencies have just been getting better and better.
And that's FBI booking, right? Yeah. Andy Summers.
Frontier.
Have you had any problems with that, or do you miss setting up the smaller shows yourselves?
No, I don't think we miss setting up ourselves. No.
Because, you know, it seems like you're forced to play certain places that you might not otherwise get to, or...
No.
When it comes down to it, it's our decision.
Yeah.
We can say
yes. Sometimes it's more like we don't get to play some places that we played in the past or whatever, and might want to play, but between them and the promoters that won't guarantee any money and stuff, so we can't play. And so sometimes that evolves, but the whole aspect of doing everything ourselves, it's a relief to have to be on the phone every time that you're not on the stage or something.
Because also, you know, I follow pretty much the fanzines a lot, and one of the complaints was that you had a booking agent to book your European tour, and one of the reasons why you didn't get to play Italy was because Italy is sort of has the squats and the little self-promoted shows, and when a booking agent calls up in Italy, they really don't get a hold of those people. So you sort of miss out on playing the smaller places.
Small places, it's like, you know, most of the places like that, you arrive at the show, there's some really PA, and you end up sounding worse, or, you know, doing worse for yourself by playing a show like that than you would do if you just didn't play at all.
It's misleading sometimes. You'll play a place like that where...
Not that we haven't done it a million times.
Yeah, we have.
But you end up...
squats on that tour that did. Prestige booking agency booked in Europe. We wound up playing one squad or two squads.
In Denmark,
we played some pretty big holes.
You're also doing another world tour later this year.
Yes.
Where do you plan on playing this year?
All over in Europe, in Italy and France that we didn't do last year.
England.
To make up for that.
Possibly Hungary, maybe Poland.
Australia again, Japan, maybe down to Brazil.
Now that we've been to Europe, though, it'll be more of an extensive tour. We got our foot in the door. Play more places.
Are they really starved for punk over in Europe?
No, they're not too starved. I
don't think we're considered punk anyway.
For American bands, they probably are, but it's not for punk. It just seems like, you know, an American band going anywhere seems to get a lot of pull. Especially like in Australia or something like that.
We were treated really well over there, except for, you know, there's a few people we were talking about. But as a whole, they treated us really well.
Okay. Thanks for taking the time out to talk. I know you got to get back doing. And good luck with the rest of the tour.
We'd like to extend our appreciation to all our fans who stuck by our side and didn't believe everything they've heard.
Yeah, we do have a lot of original fans that used to go see us years ago and stuff that still come to our shows and like our new albums and stuff.
We get a lot of letters lately too, like they say, oh, you guys really suck now, you're a bunch of wimps, you sold out, and then they sign it like with a big SWAT sticker and stuff, you know.
Freddie and his white power buddies.
Uh-huh. And it's like, we're really glad those people don't like us no more, so if we're losing those kind of people, it's okay.
Seem real loud for some reason.
Ready, go!
Modern World by DRI from their new album Four of a Kind. List down the songs we heard in order from the new album Four of a Kind. We heard Do the Dream, Think for Yourself, Gone Too Long, Modern World, thanks to Spike.